Quicken Loans applies simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. All right, the show is going to be very, very interesting today. Some of it is fluid, some of it is not. Some of this is locked in, some of this is changing. Let's get right at it. I will start with your phone number. Use it. Use it right now. 1-800-636-8686. Phone number is toll free. It is wide open. Get up in here. Next segment, SI senior writer Lee Jenkins joins us. We'll talk some NBA with him. Now, when I say it's fluid, I know this. I've got Mike Lee coming up sometime in hour number two. I'm chasing a third guest as we speak. Some of these things may change, but it's going to be good no matter what. In the meantime, I've got lots to cover myself. You've got your phone number. You know where to find me on Twitter, at Jim Rome. You also know to email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at HaveAtake.com. Lots to get to. I actually want to start, though, this morning with the news involving Tom Brady. ESPN's Adam Schefter says that Tom Brady has not committed to playing in 2018. I repeat, Tom Brady has not committed to playing for the Patriots this season. I mean, that is some freaking molten lava right there. Tom Brady has not committed to playing this season, according to Adam Schefter. Lava. Or at least it would be if he did not chase it 1 second later by saying that the organization fully expects him to play. It's just that he hasn't committed officially to it, but they fully expect him to play. So that's a thing. That's the story. Look, if your goal is to get us to click and your goal is to get us to look at you, I guess it worked. In fact, I might even play along. All right. Tom Brady might not play this season. Tom Brady is not committed to playing this season. What if he doesn't? What if he doesn't play this season? Even though you know he will, but what if he doesn't? All right. If he doesn't, the only thing worse than getting worked by John Lynch and the Niners in that deal for Jimmy Garoppolo, because you were so convinced that your Hall of Fame quarterback would play another 5 years, would be to have your Hall of Fame quarterback just up and quit not long after that terrible trade, leaving you without either player. And the only thing worse than that would be your Hall of Famer quitting because he's sick of the head coach and the fact that he hates the trainer who helped that Hall of Famer continue to play at the highest level even into his 40s. And then worst of all, the thing that may be driving arguably the greatest player ever away from the game before he wants to go is the thing that allegedly made this dynasty in the first place, namely the Patriot way. So if this is a story, if it's a story that's to be believed, that Brady could bolt, and it's not because he can no longer play the game at a high level, it's not because he lost his will to prepare, it's not because of injury, but because he's sick of Belichick and the Patriot way, and that he might not be the only one either, so is Rob Gronkowski, who reportedly is not coming for the offseason workout program or has not yet. So if Brady quits, and it says here he won't, but if he does, and it won't be because he lost his fire for it or wants to spend more time with his family, but because he's sick of Belichick and sick of Belichick fighting with his personal guru, Alex Guerrero, then what does that tell you? I mean, one thing to get worked in a trade involving your quarterback of the future, quite another to run your Hall of Fame quarterback off by making him start to hate the game that has run his entire life. In other words, that window is closing awfully quickly for the Patriots if it hasn't slammed already. Belichick, generally thought of as the best to ever do it. Yeah, maybe, but we're going to find out how good this guy really is if and when he's got to go to battle without Tom Brady. And if he doesn't lighten up, that's going to be sooner than later. If he's got two of his best players who don't want to play, and the old man is the reason for that, then the old man better look in the mirror and readjust his approach and thinking about the so-called Patriot way. And by the way, it's not the Patriot way, it's the Belichick way. His way or the highway. And if he doesn't readjust that, he's about to get burned. Allegedly. I guess what I'm getting at is this. I don't know that this is a thing. I don't know if this is a story, but I do know this. All good things come to an end. But you want that dynasty to die of natural causes. You don't want the hood to kill it himself. And if Belichick doesn't change, that's what's going to happen. Look, if Brady wants to do a bunch of funky stretches, have Alex rub lotion all over him, and eat avocado ice cream, let the guy do it. Look at the guy. It works. And if he's got teammates who make a similar commitment and it works for them, let them do it too. Or risk losing these guys altogether and busting a cap in that dynasty once and for all. So is it a thing? Is it a story? Or is it a way to get us to look at you and click? Who knows? 1-800-636-8686. Where do you come out on this? I do know this. There's obviously frustration there. There's obviously frustration if Brady and Gronk are at odds with the coach. And Hoodie, for who? For what? Because you don't like their trainer? A guy who might be unorthodox? A guy who might be quackish? But a guy who's having success with your best players? Maybe you let them do it. It's just a little lotion. It's just a massage. It's just avocado ice cream. Look at the guy's 40, and he's your MVP. Pats fans, what do you make of this whole thing? Do you really think that Brady would walk away right now because he's at odds with Belichick? I don't know that he would, but I think it's pretty clear he doesn't like his job nearly as much as he used to. Hey, Hood, at some point, the guy's not going to want to prepare. At some point, the guy's not going to have the game to do it anymore. But at this point, he has both those things. Don't rip the guy's love of the game from him. Oh, my way or the highway. Again, I don't think it's the Patriot way. It's the Belichick way. If you don't like that, you probably aren't going to like my take either on Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, according to Yahoo Sports, is not thrilled. And this is a Yahoo Sports report. He's not thrilled with the way the team has handled some of its business in the offseason, that they're not communicating with him on certain things that may or may not affect him directly. I want to get into that whole story, and I'll do that a little bit later on. If you Packer fans already have your take on that, don't wait on me. Get to it right now. 1-800-636-8686. In the NBA playoffs. Again, you know me. I'm not going to go hot take. I'm not going to say things to get people to react on Twitter. It's not where I live. It's not what I do. But I will keep it real. And there's something that I want to say about Brad Stevens. And I thought about it all morning long. Before I actually put it out there, I want to rethink it just a second longer. But I saw something from this guy that I just cannot believe. Brad Stevens and the Celtics. My takes on that coming up later on. Shohei did not have himself a very good night, right? Ohtani. You've got the Angels and you've got the Red Sox. And everybody was all hyped up on this game. Red Sox coming to town. They're 13-2. Angels playing lights out, 13-3. And then you've got the guy that everybody wants to see. And of course, it did not live up to the hype. Generally, things don't. But let's not rush in to pile on this guy and say that he's the most overhyped guy ever, because he's not. I've got that for you. Francisco Lindor, did you see his home run last night? Thought that was amazing. I want to talk about an alleged Cron King. How about the Tallahassee police moving in for the biggest bust ever to find out it was nothing of the sort? Nothing of the sort. Just because you want it to be doesn't make it so. We'll talk some hockey. Caps are still alive. Golden Knights run right over the LA Kings. That story just keeps getting better and better and better. Let's go to some early tweets. Hey, by the way, where is Lef? Come on, Lef. You called 2 days in a row. We're already through the open of day number three. Where are you, Lef? I thought for sure you'd go three-peat on me. At Fake K Winslow tweets, we all hope that TB12 doesn't play this season. Signed the other 31 teams. Again, the report is he is not committed to playing the 2018 season. However, the organization expects him to be there. But he has not committed. Fire, Alvy. Again, that's a thing. That's a story. He's not committed. He's not taking part in the off-season workout program. You know, like he hasn't in other years. Like the guy's one day late and he hasn't committed. But we expect him to. Yeah, I pretty much expect him to play. But if you want to follow that story, why hasn't he committed? Because the Hood, theoretically, has ripped his love of the game from him because he won't let Alex massage him and apply lotion to him and do funky stretches. Never mind that the guy's 40 and playing some of the best football of his life. Never mind that Gronk, who can't stay healthy, stayed healthy for almost all of last season and was extremely productive. At Hedstrom Bacon tweets, Brady is only pimping for his stupid reality show. Maybe he should take a lesson from the Kardashians in self-promotion. And maybe he already has, John. Hey, maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's another episode of the reality show. At Gabe in the 604 tweets, did you know that Tom Brady was drafted in the sixth round? No way. Was he really? Amazing. God, think about that career that guy's had as a sixth-round draft choice. Now, I didn't know that, nor have I seen that video of him working out the combine, running that 9-flat 40, or that 9-inch vert, or him putting 225 up once, allegedly. Nick Davis tweets, Hawk hasn't committed to coming into work tomorrow, but his boss fully expects him to be there. Hashtag fire emoji. Jason in Nashville tweets, the Los Angeles Kings, boom, out of here.
Boom, hey. Out of here.
War WNSR, streaming all 3 hours of the jungle live on the AM and FM blowtorches. Kings are done.
Now I'm done.
Thanks for coming. Now you're done.
Now
swept. Denlesk tweets, we totally believe Brady won't be playing. Signed, Parody Larry won't be calling. Bartolo won't be eating. And Alvin won't be wrestling.
Dude.
Right, Lesk. And you won't be sending terrible tired emails, tweets, and shops every single day. Lesk. If you don't like any of my topics, if you don't like any of my takes, if you don't like any of my interviews, make it better. Show up. Do something yourself. 1-800-636-8686. In the meantime, I do have Lee Jenkins coming up next. He's got the very latest on the LA Lakers. We'll talk NBA playoffs with him. Lee Jenkins joins me in about 5 minutes. Don't go anywhere. Undefeated professional boxer Mike Lee, also on the show today. He's got an amazing story. I don't talk to guys who don't have great stories. You're going to want to hear that story for sure. Getting maximum performance out of anything depends on what you put into it. If you want to achieve maximum performance at work, you put in the extra effort. When you want maximum performance from your kids, you put in the time and the tools. And when you want max performance from your vehicle, you drop in Castrol Edge. It is the titanium strong motor oil. Modern engines are smaller. They are more powerful. They operate at higher pressures than ever before, so you need oil. They can deal with that significant stress. The oil needs to be strong. The oil needs to stay strong. And Castrol Edge is that because it's formulated with fluid titanium technology to help reduce friction and maximize engine performance. Castrol Edge is 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown as tested in the Kurt Orban test in the 5W30 Viz grade. So you know it's legit. It's the real deal. It's in my car. It should be in your car. Castrol Edge. Castrol Edge is the oil you want to use. In my vehicles, high-performance vehicles, I would not use anything other than Castrol Edge.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
I want to talk about the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, but before we do any of that, let's talk NBA. We are joined now by a senior writer for Sports Illustrated, Lee Jenkins. We talk NBA playoffs with him and also get an update on the LA Lakers. Lee, good morning. What's up? How are you?
Hey, Jim. How are you?
Good, good. Lee, how are things?
Excellent. In Houston, they're trying to take a 2-0 lead here. Everything's kind of, a lot of stuff is kind of chalky. Not the Pelicans.
No, that's true, right? Lots of things are chalky, except that. Listen, I want to talk about that, and I want to talk about the LA Lakers, but before we get to that piece that you wrote on them, you did a feature, Lee, on Ben Simmons, essentially 2 months into his first NBA season. So go back and give me your mindset at that time. What did you make of him at that point of the season?
Well, it's just so unusual. I mean, you have all of these oversized ball handlers now who are sort of, you know, made into point guards. But I think he's probably the most natural of them. You know, when you talk about like Giannis and sort of those 6'11 guys who can suddenly take the ball down the court and make plays. But I think he's more natural. He seemed to me like so many players grew up they came out of the Michael Jordan era, came out of the Kobe Bryant era. To me, he's the first real star who was hatched from the LeBron era, who plays in some ways like LeBron James plays. Obviously not as forceful physically maybe, but when you think about the vision and the ability to make teammates better and pass the ball, so much of that I think came from LeBron. And also there's a uniqueness to a guy who, you know, really can't shoot from outside at all and is still able to put his imprint on the game the way Simmons does. So, you know, all of those things kind of made him intriguing. And then you add to the fact that Brett Brown really took that year when Simmons was hurt in Philadelphia and viewed it as a training ground to build a point guard, because I don't think they weren't going to do that originally. When they drafted him, they were going to play him in more of a point forward role, and that year really gave them an opportunity to revisit their thinking.
And, of course, Brett Brown was the one guy who saw that, Lee. Nobody else saw it. Everybody thought he was crazy when he put that down, but he saw that in him, and it's been great so far. Now, you've got a great piece up on SI.com right now about the LA Lakers, who, despite the fact, Lee, they're not in the playoffs, they are one of the biggest stories in the league because they've got those two max salary spots, they've got some great young talent, and they've got a key figure in Rob Pelinka, who you describe as a, quote, John Hughes character come to life. For those who have not spent any time with him, what's Pelinka like?
Well, he had a life of sort of incredible proximity to talent. You know, I wrote about when he was in high school, he was already playing against Michael Jordan in the Chicago Summer League. They called it the Schlitz Malt Liquor Summer League. So, I mean, he was playing with pros, with great pros, when he was just a high school kid in Chicago. He's from the, you know, one of the North Shore suburbs, and went to Michigan, gets there, wins a national championship right away with Glenn Rice and Ramil Robinson. A couple years go by, and then the Fab Five comes. So this guy's life was really marked at a young age by incredible talent kind of flocking around him, purely probably by coincidence. Then he becomes an agent, represents Kobe Bryant almost right off the bat, 2 years after he became an agent. Ended up having Durant for a short time, of course, James Harden. So I think he does have some access into the minds of players and really superstars. Lakers made him their GM, of course, last year, at Magic Johnson, the president. Neither of them had really any experience at all running a team. And, you know, when you look at what they've done, they've successfully cleared cap space, and they have these young players. And I don't know that they get the credit for bringing in all those young players. The Lakers have a really good scouting department, and they've done a good job in the draft. And I think that probably gets swept under. Everybody talked about the free agent misses, you know, everybody they didn't get. But in that time, they did pretty well in the draft. They didn't do perfectly. Obviously, you would have rather Porzingis over D'Angelo Russell. But a lot of those picks have turned out to be fairly valuable assets where the Lakers can now tell a free agent, you know, we're not just selling L.A. We're not just selling the banners. There are young players here. Now, what you think of those young players, if you think they are enough to go get somebody like Kawhi Leonard or enough to be a lure for Paul George and LeBron James, those are interesting questions, because it's not as though those guys are looking like the next coming of Kevin Durant, but they do look solid, right? And I think projecting that into the future is a trick for anybody who's considering L.A.
Lee Jenkins joining us. Lee, one thing about the Schlitz Malt Liquor League, I mean, that sounds too good to be true. Like, it's completely made up. What were those games like, and who played in that league?
Yeah, I mean, you had teams like Jordan played for Playboy's team. So I was looking at the pictures, like front of the jersey says Schlitz Malt Liquor, and the back of the jersey says Playboy.
That's so
and
good.
He had Doc Rivers and Terry Cummings with him. And almost every team had one, at least one recognizable player. A lot of times a guy from Chicago, like Kevin Duckworth played for a team called Seduction by Rodney. Pelinka's team was Luster Hair Care Products. So, and admission was free. So think about it. In 1988, summer of 88, you can walk into, I think it's Keating Hall, like Illinois Institute of Technology. You can walk in there for free on a Monday night and watch Michael Jordan play a game for nothing. For Playboy, representing Playboy.
Exactly. Lee Jenkins joining us. Best league ever. Best idea ever. Best league ever. All right, so if you're LeBron or you're Paul George or you're LeBron and Paul George, what are you seeing when you look at the LA Lakers? Is it a team that intrigues you as a possible free agency destination?
Yeah, that's the question, right? And it's a leap of faith, I think, for anybody to do that based on, you know, you got Ball and Ingram who are both 20 years old. And I think in a lot of cases, these players are going to have to trust sort of their own talent projections. Like, when you look at these guys, do you see stars? Do you see sidekicks? Do you see players who, at least, if nothing else, could be trade pieces? All you have to do is find one team with a star who is in love with Brandon Ingram, if you aren't. And I'm not saying that they're not. I think that they, as an organization, are really high on these guys. I mean, maybe they just say that to help pump up their value, but they feel as if they're on the right course. They're on kind of an Oklahoma City course, but they've also got this cap space and this lure of LA, and that's why what they're doing is a little, is a little different. It's like, you know, there's the OKC model where you build young. Obviously, that's like what Philly did. And then you have the Miami model where you go get the big free agents. They're kind of traveling both courses, not knowing necessarily which one is going to come through, but feeling like whichever one does will have them on a pretty good trajectory. And then they also talk freely about the Boston blueprint, where you accumulate all these assets and you are the team that is in position to make a deal for a disgruntled player, and like Kyrie did with the Celtics. And that's where, you know, it could be a guy like Kawhi, it could be someone else. You know, I'm sitting here in Houston, and it's like, that's what happened with James Harden. It's not as though the Rockets were going after James Harden. James Harden was the player who became available, and they were in position to absorb him.
Lee Jenkins joining us. Lee, you mentioned Kawhi Leonard a couple of times. So where do you think that leaves him? Do you think that he's played his last game for the Spurs? What's going to happen in that case?
You know, I don't know. And that they are clearly the kind of team, the kind of coach who's capable of smoothing a fractured relationship. They did it with LaMarcus Aldridge. I can't imagine that they're just going to say goodbye to Kawhi Leonard this quickly, this easily. I mean, top five players don't come along, as good as their scouting department is, they don't come along that often. That's not a team that's going to just go, you know, have its pick of big-time free agents. But if it does reach that point, I think you have a lot of teams who are going to be swooping in and have positioned themselves the same way the Lakers have. It's not as though the Lakers are the only team that has the ability to swing a deal. I mean, Boston will be right there. There are a lot of teams that I think realize that this is important in today's NBA, is being dexterous enough to move when a disgruntled free agent or a disgruntled player shakes free.
Lee, one last thought about the Lakers. I mean, in Magic Johnson, you've got an icon, you've got a legend, you've got an enormous presence. But in reality, what does he bring to it? What kind of gravitas does he have? As an example, when he comes into a room with a potential free agent, what is his pitch and how strong a presence is he really?
I think it's pretty strong. And I don't, you know, I never know that, right? Like, you never know, does Riley, like when Riley was in there in 2010, like, did they go there because of Miami? Did they go there because of Wade, or was it really because Riley dumped the rings on the table? Like, does having that sort of, that kind of dramatic gesture, that person who is recognized, like, how significant really is that? But if it is, then clearly they have as big of an advantage as you can have in a free agent room. Like, Kuzma was telling me about the combine and how he go around every one of these rooms. You know, you're in a hotel, and every team has a different room, and you go in there, and he's talking to these GMs who are talking about his, you know, his per 40 stats and kind of digging deep into his, you know, analytic profile. And he gets in there with Magic, and he's like totally intimidated, you know, just sweating through his shirt. But he walks in, Magic smiles, suddenly he's totally at ease. And Kuzma described it like he's put his feet up on the coffee table and starts telling his whole life story to the Lakers. So, you know, when you have somebody who can both disarm and impress at the same time, I have to imagine in these free agent meetings that's important. I never thought, honestly, that these guys would make these huge life decisions based on a two-hour, three-hour free agent presentation. But it does happen. I do believe that Kevin Durant was swung in that meeting with the Warriors. So if it is that significant, then clearly it's not going to be a disadvantage to have Magic Johnson in the room for you.
Lee Jenkins, a senior writer for SI, joining us from Houston all over the NBA playoffs and also projecting ahead what's ahead for the Lakers this summer. Lee, great job as always. Really good to have you back. Lee, thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Jim.
Great job, Lee. Lee Jenkins. 1-800-636-8686. If you're LeBron James and you're looking around right now and you see the landscape in the NBA, who do you like better? Do you like what the Lakers have to offer, or do you like what Philadelphia has to offer, or is there something else there? You have your telephone number. Hit us up right now. We can talk about any of the matchups. I do want to get into the Celtics and what Brad Stevens's got going right now, despite the fact they're busted up and the way they're playing. What's happening with the PDX? Portland in big trouble already, down 2-0 and getting on a bird and going back to deal with the Pelicans in their barn. My thoughts on that, too. And I want to talk NHL, and I want to get into the Green Bay Packers situation with Aaron Rodgers. We talked about the Patriots and the Patriot way, and how the Patriot way might be rubbing some of their Hall of Famers the wrong way. How about the Packer way? How about the way they're handling Aaron Rodgers? And is there anything to that Yahoo Sports report that Aaron Rodgers is not happy with the communication he's getting from the team? Let's get into that topic also. Phone lines are wide open. 1-800-636-8686. Time now for a bottom of the hour sports update. Here it is. Andrew Bogish has this update. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros, submit a question, and think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, let's talk Packers now, and then we go to the phones. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports reports that Aaron Rodgers would like more input when the Packers are making major personnel decisions that happen to impact him. And according to Robinson, it's something that is weighing on him as he moves forward with his contract negotiations. Furthermore, two league sources tell Yahoo that Aaron Rodgers was both, quote, frustrated and emotional over a lack of communication from the front office prior to some significant decisions that were made without consulting him this offseason. So what we're talking about here is the team breaking off his quarterback coach, Alex Van Pelt, and kicking his favorite wide receiver, Jordy Nelson, to the curb. In terms of the report, I'm not sure whether or not that's accurate or not, although the reporter in question is extremely credible. But if I were Aaron Rodgers, and he hasn't addressed this directly, although he had kind of a sarcastic tweet. If I were Aaron Rodgers and the team did what it did without explaining to me, I'd be, quote, frustrated and emotional also. In fact, I'd be pissed. This guy's got every right to be. Don't think the teams don't consult with franchise players or Hall of Famers before they make certain moves, because they do. Just apparently not the Packers. And don't get it twisted. I'm not saying that this guy needs to be consulted on everything you do. Just keep him involved, especially as it relates to decisions that do impact him directly. Namely, his position coach. Namely, his favorite wide receiver. I guarantee Aaron Rodgers is not looking for you to consult with him on every single move. He's not looking for you to check with him before you make a decision on the D-line or the secondary or maybe a decision involving one of the linebackers. Although I am sure that given who he is and the fact that he destroys your defense every single day in practice and every other defense in the NFL for more than a decade, you'd be wise to pick his brain on those topics as well. And we're not talking about some knucklehead running off the mouth. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers, one of the best to ever do it. A brilliant guy. I mean, if I ran a football team, I think I'd want to chop it up with this guy as much as I could about all sorts of things. I know this. I'd sure as hell engage him as to why we were firing his longtime position coach and a guy he's very close to. I know I would engage him on what we were doing with his favorite wide receiver. Listen, on the one hand, you can benefit from this guy's knowledge. And then on the other hand, why would you want to aggravate him? He's your franchise quarterback. He's arguably the best player in franchise history. Why would you want to alienate that guy? And why wouldn't you take advantage of what he knows? I mean, it's one thing to agitate the old gunslinger, Brett Favre, back in the day. Favre was jerking the team around every single year, and they knew they had Aaron Rodgers ready to take his place. But they don't have that luxury right now. So keeping this guy in the loop, to me, is a win-win because you benefit from his knowledge and you don't want to aggravate, arguably, your best player ever. But not keeping this guy in the loop is a risk. But they're not. They obviously are not. And why aren't they? The same reason anybody refuses to do anything at all, because they don't have to. And the reason they don't have to is they've got him under contract for 2 more years. And then beyond that, they've got the ability to franchise him for 2 more years. They've got this guy under their control for 4 more years. So as good as he is, as important as he is, Aaron Rodgers really does not have much leverage here. They're the ones calling the shots, not him. And since he can't leverage them in any way, they don't feel the need to placate him on any level. Or even worse, rework a deal that he has outperformed and has him grossly underpaid at his position. Something else the team should address. No, they don't have to, but if I were the Packers, I would. Why? Because he's earned it, he has outperformed that contract, and he is underpaid right now, and he's far and away your best and most important player. You do right by these guys, even if you don't have to. And it says here, if they're not engaging this guy in major moves that impact him directly, and they're not willing to do something for him contractually, then they're not doing right by their Hall of Famer. So you've got the Patriot way, which reportedly has Tom Brady thinking about shutting it down and just going home, allegedly. And then you've got the Packer way, which might be creating problems and agitating Aaron Rodgers, allegedly. And no, Aaron Rodgers would never say any of this publicly, but just because he won't doesn't mean he's not thinking it. I know I'd be thinking that if I were him, but they obviously don't give a damn. That's why they're not engaging him, and that's why they're not talking about a contract with him, because they don't feel like they have to. To me, it's not that hard. It really is not that hard. If I'm the Packers, I engage the guy, I talk to the guy, and I pay the guy. To me, it really is not that hard. But the Packer way might be different than some of the other ways. Just know this, teams do talk to franchise players. Teams do consult with guys before they do certain things. And if anybody's earned that right, it's Aaron Rodgers. But he doesn't have the hammer, so they're not doing it. Packer fan, what do you think? 1-800-636-8686. So now I've laid this out now about the Patriots, and Tom Brady's not happy. The Packers and Aaron Rodgers allegedly is not happy. Depends on what you believe when you see that report. Let's go to the phones. All right, see, now this guy here, let's stay on topic instead. Why don't we go to Green Bay? John in Green Bay, you're first up. It's good to have you, John. How are you?
Good, Jim. How about you?
Good, bud. Good.
Hey, second time, long time. But I just have to mention first that you and I had a chance to meet about 20 years ago. You came into town for to do the show from Green Bay when the Packers played the Panthers in the NFC Championship game.
True.
And you went out to Fuzzy's. Do you remember this?
Oh, I do. Absolutely.
Yeah. You and I had a chance actually to meet you that night and talk to you for a few minutes, have a pop with you. And I'm sure you probably wouldn't remember it, but I just want to thank you for, you know, how gracious you were and just taking a few minutes to hang with us. It was great.
No, that was awesome. One of my favorite nights ever. I love that trip. That was my first time in Green Bay. I went to the NFC Championship game, my man, and I have never been in weather that cold. I was freezing.
Well, we just got 24 inches of snow this past weekend, so it's a crazy place.
Good
here,
luck.
But listen, I guess my take on this is somewhat in line with what you're talking about. First of all, it seems to me to be a huge leadership error when you've got a guy with a franchise, you know, you've got your franchise quarterback, his window is closing, and you don't bother to even have a conversation. I mean, nobody's saying that he's going to make your decision for you, but the fact that you didn't give him the courtesy of actually just hearing him out, to me, speaks to a larger issue that's existed here for a while just under the Mike McCarthy regime, which is there's a bit of a power struggle going on there. And this guy tends to be really, really stubborn. Now, I'm obviously just a casual fan with a great interest in the Packers, but when you hold on to your defensive coordinator as long as you have, when you stick with Brett Hundley as long as you have, there's just this sense that he's trying to make it known that he can make this thing work whether he's got Rodgers' input or not, and that Rodgers probably isn't the only reason he's been successful here. And to me, it's just a really poor decision not to take Rodgers' expertise and wisdom into this conversation at all. So I'll hang up and listen, Jim, and just thanks again for letting me have a chance to talk.
John, you got it. Great talking to you. Nice to get caught up. I saw him 20 years ago at Fuzzy Thurston's Bar. That was awesome. That was such a great time. One of my favorite nights ever. That was 1996. We were there for a tour stop. We did an appearance. I went to the game. That's when all you Packer fans were calling me out the week of, saying, hey, California guy, you're not coming out here. You're going to sit in the warmth of the press box, aren't you? Aren't you, California guy? I said, hell no. I'm going to sit with you in the stands, which is what I did. And man, it was cold. It was really cold. But that was tremendous. I met Fuzzy before that game. You know, this is an enormous, enormous Jerry Kramer house. So the Packers back in the day have always fascinated me, and so does the organization. And I agree with John. Listen, this is not a case of the inmates running the asylum. I'm not saying that you let Aaron Rodgers make personnel decisions. What I am saying is franchises will go to franchise players and get their input. They just do. If you think otherwise, you're wrong. The Packers clearly are not one of those teams that are doing that. I'm not saying that this is an apples to apples argument. But you take the Cavaliers and LeBron James. You think LeBron James does not have input? You think LeBron James does not have input as to what the Cavaliers are doing? He has input for a couple of reasons. Number one, they'd be wise to listen to what he has to say. But number two, and this is key, and this is where Aaron Rodgers is not in the same way. LeBron's got a hammer. LeBron's got leverage. They know that if LeBron's not happy, LeBron is going to bounce. The reason the Packers are not consulting with Aaron Rodgers is they know he can't go anywhere. He can't do anything. He's under contract for 2 years. They can franchise him in the 2 years after that. They control this guy until he's 38. And at that point, they may not want him around anyway. They clearly don't give a damn what he has to say. or they wouldn't rip his position coach from him without talking to him first. I'm not even saying you give this guy the right to veto that move. I'm saying if it's Aaron Rodgers, and you've got a position coach that you know this guy's close to, and you're going to fire this guy, maybe you tell the quarterback before you fire this guy and explain why you're doing it. Maybe you even get his input. And to me, anything short of that is a big mistake on their part. Number one, because he's earned it. Number two, because the guy's got information I guarantee that you would benefit from. And number three, why do you want to alienate your franchise quarterback when you don't have to? You know, the case of Jordy Nelson, maybe not the player he used to be. Sure, not as explosive as he used to be. His numbers are down, but that's still that guy's favorite target. So if you're going to send him out and break him off, maybe you have a discussion with the quarterback first. If you don't want to, great. All right, your organization, he's just an employee, so be it. But you're going to have a quarterback who's unhappy and a quarterback who deserves more respect than that. I would do it. What company is there where there's a key employee or a key management figure? And again, if you want to get that twisted and say, yeah, but he's not management, fine. He's not management. The guy's really important to what you do. Not only your best player right now, but arguably your best player ever. I think he engaged this guy. At least engage the guy, because you'd benefit from the knowledge and you don't want to aggravate the guy. You think Tom Brady's got no input as to what they do there? And maybe not, if he's not committed to 2018. Packer fans, what do you make of this? All right, so you had a change at GM, but apparently the philosophy hasn't changed. Does that mean that because the coach hasn't changed, they're going to hardball these guys? And Aaron Rodgers in particular? Now, this guy here is a high-volume guy. He calls a lot. And most calls are pretty good. And he's back for more. This goes back to yesterday. Rick in Buffalo called the program to crack on Rex in Albuquerque.
Just because you call all the time, Rexy, doesn't mean you're a good caller. You'd be wise to take my advice, little man. Instead of calling the show twice a week, scale it back to maybe twice a year. It won't make your calls any better, but it'll remind everyone a lot less often how truly terrible they are.
Twice a week or four times a week, whatever it is, he's back for more and probably to respond to that. Let's go to Albuquerque. Rex in the ABQ. Hey, Rex, what's up?
Not much, Jim, but apparently Brick in Ruffalo thinks I call too much. Ricky, Booby, I do that on purpose so you can't get through, you oxygen thief. It's my version of a zone blocking scheme. And were you really bragging about taking a vacation to Florida? I know you saved years for that trip, Ricker, but a couple things your travel agent at AAA should have told you. Number one, Florida is a flat, humid dump with mosquitoes the size of helicopters. Two, there's nothing exclusive about Sarasota. Three, Southwest Airlines does not have first-class service. You just got lucky and got a Group A boarding pass. Rick, do yourself a favor. Don't call the jungle again until you get your cholesterol level to somewhere between 400 and hollandaise sauce. We want you to keep calling, but not if you're in and out of the hospital getting a pericardiocentesis. And regarding your constipation issues, as someone who gets stopped up from time to time, I recommend the Molten Lava Cake at Morton's.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
You know, Rex, you may have been run, but you're welcome to call as much as you want. Hey, Rick, you really ought to do something about that cholesterol. Apparently, you don't have that good cholesterol, the good fat, between 400, somewhere between 400 and hollandaise sauce. All right, there's another jungle beef right there. Rex in the ABQ and Rick in Buffalo. It must be smack-off season. It must be smack-off season. We don't have a definitive date, but we're close. It's going to be in June. You know that. It's going to be in June. I just need to pick the actual date, but keep that in mind. Coming up next hour, we are efforting Mike Lee, who's an undefeated professional boxer with a great story. We've talked Pats, we've talked Packers, I want to talk NBA playoffs and NHL playoffs and baseball. And a little college football, too. Lots to get to, 1 hour down, hour number two straight ahead. Don't go anywhere.